and welcome to the Thursday, June 25th meeting of the Senate Committee on Rules. For those in the audience who, we have quite a list of bills, there are two bills on our list that we will not be taking up because we're awaiting paperwork or amendments. We won't be doing House Bill 2282 today, and we also won't be taking up House Bill 2594, so if you're here for either of these, you can leave. And we do expect to take them up at our next hearing. Okay, so let's start from the top, and I'll start by opening a work session on Senate Bill 75. And this is a bill, members, that we heard in its original form quite some time ago, but now it has come back with an amendment. And Aaron, would you like to tell us about that? And I believe we have the Secretary of State here with us to testify on this bill.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, I will direct your attention on Senate Bill 75 to, we have been presented with two amendments today. We have a -2 amendment that replaces the original member and establishes a 9-member task force on campaign finance reform. The measure specifies membership, charge, and reporting requirement and identifies Committee Service Office of Legislative Administration Office to provide staff and support. And you have a -3 amendment that it too replaces the original member measure and establishes a 17-member task force on campaign finance reform. It too specifies the membership, charge, and reporting requirement and identifies Committee Services Office of Legislative Administration to provide staff support for task force. There's an emergency clause on both the amendments. We do have the fiscal impact on the -3 and the revenue impact, which there is none. I will say with the -3 amendment, Madam Chair, the measure will need to go to Ways and Means as to be considered along with other task forces being that have been requested to be staffed by Legislative Administration Committee as they have been allotted a certain amount of money. They need to make sure that they can cover all of the task forces they will be asked to staff.
Okay, thanks, Aaron, for that explanation. And Secretary of State Atkins, if you'd like to come forward. Good afternoon and welcome back to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you. Thank you very much. For the record, I'm Jean Atkins, Secretary of State, and I'll be very brief. You do have a written statement for me. I won't do the whole thing, but I'm pleased to be here to testify in support of Senate Bill 75 as amended by the -3s and a parallel bill, House Bill 2178A. Either of these bills would formally begin a critical discussion on campaign finance reform. As I talked to you in April when you were kind enough to take up SJR 5 and Senate Bill 75, we support this effort as one to respond to the challenge of getting public faith back into the foundation of our democracy, particularly as relates to campaign finance. As we remember, the both polling and personal interactions make it very clear that this is a very important thing to Oregonians. The discussion of those two bills brought forth a lot of good number of questions and concerns, agreement and disagreement, and as well as a good number of additional ideas and concepts. That's why I think that bringing a task force to bring possible solutions to the February 2016 legislative session is a very good way to move forward on a public policy issue that has eluded resolution for so many years. It's important to say, I think that the task force would begin with a clean slate. It's an opportunity to have an open and wide-ranging conversation with all affected and interested parties. The job of the task force, as I understand it, would be to work towards a balanced proposal that addresses the desire of Oregonians to limit the effect of money in politics, work within the constitutional boundaries we have, or to recommend appropriate constitutional changes that would be acceptable to voters. I think we're all very sensitive to the enormous value that Oregonians place on free speech, and to that end, I think the task force is designed, and it would be my job to appoint where others do not, a task force that is inclusive of each major political party, community organizations, non-affiliated voters from the broader community. Any constitutional referral that might be suggested is going to need the support in the public and be able to potentially pass at the ballot box, so we want to hear those voices during this process. I'd like to thank Governor Brown for asking me to lead this important discussion. Transparency and accountability of elected officials and candidates are critically important, and I look forward to working with her, with you as a committee and a task force and stakeholders to try and tackle it. So I thank the committee for taking this up and happy to take questions.
Thank you for your testimony and for bringing these ideas forward. And I, in recollecting our hearing some time ago on SJR 5 and Senate Bill 75, there has been a lot of discussion since that about what a constitutional amendment would look like, what the need for it is, other aspects of campaign finance reform. Clearly, there's a lot that this group could take up. I also note the fact that the committee, the task force, needs to submit a report by December 31st of 2015. I think that is intended so that when the legislature comes back into session in February, if legislation's proposed out of that group, we would be timely to do so. Is that your understanding?
That's
as
my
well?
Understanding as well. That's right.
Great. Okay, any questions? Yes, Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Speaker, I have two questions. One is not mine, so, but it was raised to me earlier today. And it, in the Dash 3 amendment, I think that you're familiar with, the first appointees that you would appoint are the five members to represent the interests of political parties in Oregon, with at least one member representing each of the major political parties in Oregon. The original legislation called for two major parties, but of course somebody forgot we actually have three now certified, so that language is fairly consistent with
something
here.
We recognized in the circumstances.
Right. And then the original language had two, I think, from, you know, the minor parties was there. The interpretation is kind of all over the place, but the concern that was raised in A of the five members is what would prevent you, the Secretary of State, from appointing a Democrat, a Republican, and we'll just be fair, and three IPOs, and nobody from a minor party. Not that you would do that, I'm saying.
Right.
The way the language is written, it looks like it went from the original intent was to get one each from the major parties and a couple from the minor parties, and it kind of looks like, at least some people's interpretation, that it certainly would say, one from each of the three majors, but the other two, it doesn't specify from minor. So the theory could be, not again, Madam Secretary, that you would do that, that the way the language reads is you could appoint three Democrats or three Republicans or three IPO and then one from the other ones. So I guess I'm looking for you to allay the concerns of others.
The intent certainly is to make a selection from the existing minor parties to make sure that at least two were represented. That was the intent. That would be my intent. That would be how I would proceed.
Follow up, Madam Chair.
A follow-up?
One other thing that actually jumped out at me, because I've not seen this before in the decade I've been in the building, and that is that we have three branches of government, so I don't need to lecture civics here. But I do note here that the chairperson of the task force will have the ability to direct the legislative committee services to do work in terms of the committee. And since you're the chair in the bill here, chairperson, I don't think I've ever seen a case where we have an elected executive branch member directing the activities of legislative staff members. Does that seem strange to you, or?
I don't know that I've seen it. I don't know that I have. So I would look to others to the history around that and whether task forces that the legislature have passed have been chaired by a variety of people, including citizens. So I don't know that if there's a legal issue around that. It wasn't raised in the crafting of the amendment, as far as I know. Whether it's happened before, I couldn't.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Secretary.
As I sit, we could certainly look into that.
And also, Senator Boquist, just to point out that the bill also calls, or the amendment also calls, for all agencies of state government to assist the task force in its work, too. So. I think the primary staffing would be provided by committee services in order to try to defray some of the fiscal impact. There would be definitely other agencies that would be called on to provide expertise.
Yes, Madam Chair, I know.
And I would, if I could follow up and also say, Madam Chair, Senator Boquist, it wouldn't be in my interest or the interest of the success of the task force to get into a struggle as to how resources would be used. I need to be working with the legislature and their staff in a cooperative way in order to achieve the goals of the task force.
Okay, any other questions for Secretary Atkins? Okay, I don't see any other questions for you. So thank you very much for your testimony. And members, we are in a work session. This does need to move to Ways and Means and get down there as quickly as possible.
Madam Chairman, I move the dash two amendments.
Senator Farioli, I was looking for a motion on the dash three amendments.
Madam Chair, I've made a motion.
You moved the dash two
amendments? Yes, ma'am.
All right. Senator Farioli has moved the dash two amendment to Senate Bill 75. Zoe, would you please call the roll?
Senator Beyer.
No.
Senator Boquist.
Yes.
Senator Burdick.
No.
Vice Chair Farioli.
Aye.
Chair Rosenbaum.
No. And the motion fails. And so.
I don't even, I just am reading the threes now.
Are you looking for a motion?
I'm looking for a motion on the dash three.
Wait, I'll give my colleague here a moment to decide.
Oh, no, ma'am, you may proceed. Yeah.
Madam Chair, I move the dash three amendments to Senate Bill 75.
Senator Burdick has moved the dash three amendment to Senate Bill 75. Is there discussion on the amendment? I'll just comment that I think I appreciate the work that went into the dash twos. I think the dash three represents a broader configuration of task force in that it has membership from groups like the League of Women Voters, nonprofits, for-profits, people that work on campaign finance reform, as well as the legislators and representatives of political parties, which I think will give us a good mix of where the public is at on the subject of campaign finance.
Madam Chair, if I might?
Yes, Senator Farioli.
The dash twos have the, I think, the advantage, the improvement of allowing the minority parties to appoint directly. The dash threes do not. So it's always, when anybody suggests that we do anything related to campaign finance, it's always a question of trust and who has the authority to pack the committee. The dash two amendments allow a direct appointment for minorities, that is the minority leaders of the legislature. So I think it's vastly superior to the dash threes.
Okay, I appreciate
Thank
your
you,
comment. I would just point out that the dash threes do call for the two legislators from each side to be of one of each party. So
yes, ma'am, of the selection of the majority parties choosing.
That's correct. Okay, so any further discussion on the amendment? Any objection to the amendment?
I object, Madam Chair.
Okay, let's.
I object.
Zoe, would you please call the roll?
Senator Beyer?
Yes.
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Senator Boquist?
No.
Vice Chair Farioli?
No.
Chair Rosenbaum?
Aye. Amendment is adopted. And Senator Burdick, do you have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 75 with a due pass as amended recommendation and the measure be referred to Ways and Means.
Senator Burdick has moved Senate Bill 75 as amended by the dash three amendment to the Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion
yes,
on the
ma'am.
Motion? Senator Farrell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If the objective here is to increase trust in the process, you really need to start from a position where people are encouraged to participate and that the majority and the minority parties have an opportunity to appoint their own representatives. Mm-hmm. So I guess, Madam Chair, I will say that this begins at a place where trust is not an option for folks. This actually will grow mistrust rather than allay people's mistrust. Mm-hmm. So I will oppose the motion and, Madam Chair, the bill.
Okay, thank you for your comments, Senator Farioli. I would just point out that this is the normal appointing method that the legislature uses, and the bill might run into problems if we didn't do it that way. So,
I hope appreciate
so. I
sincerely your comments. Hope so, Madam Chair.
So, Zoe, would you please call the roll?
Senator Beyer.
Yes.
Senator Boquist?
No.
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Vice Chair Ferriello?
No.
Chair Rosenbaum?
Aye, the motion carries, and this moves to Ways and Means with a do-pass recommendation. Okay, and I'll close.
Oh, Madam Chair, before you close the record, I think one or the other of us will serve notice of a minority report.
In the eventuality, it does, is re-referred to the floor.
Yeah, we understand that moving into Ways and Means would prevent the attachment of a minority report, Madam Chair. I think
correct.
That is the objective here, is to prevent a minority report from being filed. But we still need to serve notice.
That's certainly not the objective of sending the bill to Ways and Means. Like all task forces, it has to go to Ways and Means.
Yes, so. Ma'am. How convenient.
What's that?
Okay.
I hope that's a fire alarm, and everybody needs to clear. Oh.
Okay, so
it's incoming.
I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 75, and let's open a work session on Senate Bill 465A.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 465A, originally heard on May 21st, replaces county with community mental health program and community mental health program director throughout statutes governing process to initiate commitment of persons with mental illness to align responsibility for payment of associated costs, accounts for possibility of private or public or private entity under contract with Oregon Health Authority to provide mental health programs. There is an emergency clause on the measure. You have an A2 amendment. It establishes that community mental health program is responsible for the cost when state funds provided to community mental health program are exhausted. We have a no revenue impact and a no fiscal impact, Madam Chair, and I believe somebody is here from the counties if you wanted some additional clarity on the amendment and the bill. Chairman Maris.
Okay, did we have somebody here that wanted to? My understanding is that with this amendment, there's no opposition to this bill, and she has confirmed that. This is the bill that Commissioner Susan Morgan came and testified on when we took it up last month. So,
Madam Chair, may I have the privilege of moving to adopt the A2 amendments to Senate Bill 465?
Yes, Senator Ferrioli has moved the dash A2 amendment to Senate Bill 465. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Any objection to the amendment?
Madam Chair, for the folks listening at home, the amendment inserts the word not. Deletes the word not on line 14. So it's a syntactical correction, Madam Chair.
Okay, the amendment is adopted. Senator Ferrioli.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 465 to the floor with a do pass as amended recommendation.
And Senator Ferrioli has moved Senate Bill 465 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Okay, motion carries. And Senator Prozanski is the chief sponsor, as well as Senator Cruz. So we will ask both of them to carry, and we'll see who ends up carrying it. Okay, I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 465. And let's open a work session on Senate Concurrent Resolution 20.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, SCR 20 establishes limitations and deadlines for legislative measures for the 2016 session of the 78th Legislative Assembly. It limits Senate and House members to no more than 2 measure drafts, limits Senate and House committees to no more than 3 drafts, limits Governor and Chief Justice to no more than 5 measure drafts. It exempts Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Senate President, and House Committee on Rules from these limitations. It requires all drafts to be requested to Legislative Council on or before November 24th of 2015, and all drafts to be filed at the Senate or House desk no later than 5 p.m. on January 11th of 2016. Has no revenue and no fiscal impact, Madam Chair.
So I think members will recognize this resolution as setting the bill limit numbers and deadlines for our February legislative session under annual sessions. I think the numbers are consistent with the way we've operated in the past.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Senator Ferrioli, you had a point of order?
I do. The bill apparently exempts certain committees, including the House Committee on Rules, from limitations. Madam Chair, why is there no limitation expressed for the Senate Committee on Rules?
Well, I didn't notice that. I think that is a problem.
Yeah, I think
I do not have an answer.
I want justice now. I'm not going to take it.
Me too.
I'm sick of this. And you have the law, plead the law.
Why is it different?
And you don't have the law, you scream for justice.
Okay, so committee counsel informs me that the Senate President's office in the Senate has the ability to introduce unlimited bill introductions as opposed to it being done through the Rules Committee in the House.
And that's been, and Madam Chair.
The House Speaker then does not have that authority?
Correct.
Okay.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, that's been consistent with the several short sessions that we have now done, is the invested in the Senate President for unlimited drafts, vested in the House Rules Committee for unlimited drafts.
So, Madam Chair, you're going to tell me that we're going to do it this way? Because we've always done it this way.
Well, there's not that long of an
Senator Ferriola, it seems to have been working well.
It's been too long already.
Annual sessions, and actually, it doesn't seem that we have even used our limited bills.
And a display of support for the chair, I'll support the motion.
Madam Chair, I just think it's cruel and unusual to be talking about the next session at this point in this session.
I take your point, Senator Burdick. Okay, Senator Ferrioli, would you like to make a motion?
Madam Chair, I move SCR 20 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation, flawed as it may be.
Senator Ferrioli has moved Senate Concurrent Resolution 20 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion on his motion? Any objection to the motion? Okay, the motion carries, and the chair will carry this on the floor. And I'll close the work session on Senate Concurrent Resolution 20. And next, open a work session on House Bill 2058A.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2058A extends exemption from reporting to Oregon Government Ethics Commission money spent by registered lobbyists on lobbying another registered lobbyist. The exemption does not apply if person lobbied is a legislative official, executive official, or member of a state board or commission. Since that's the exemption on June 30th, 2017, there is an emergency clause on the measure. It comes to you from the House with 42 aye votes and 16 no votes, Madam Chair. And there is no revenue and no fiscal impact on the measure.
Okay, thank you, Erin. Members, this bill continues a practice that has been in law since last session, I believe, and sunsets it at the end of the 2017 session. We do have members of the Capital Club here if there are any questions, as well as the Executive Director of the Ethics Commission if we need testimony, or we can just move the bill to the floor. And I don't see anybody looking for testimony, so Senator Ferrioli, do you have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2058 to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Senator Ferrioli has moved House Bill 2058 to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Any discussion on the motion? Any objection?
I'm going to vote.
Oh, okay. Zoe, would you please call the roll?
Senator Beyer?
Yes.
Senator Boquist?
No.
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Vice Chair Ferrioli?
Aye.
Chair Rosenbaum?
Aye. Motion carries. We do need someone to volunteer to carry this on the floor, and I know that won't be Senator Boquist.
No, I've done that before. I'm fine.
That doesn't work well.
I can get it across the floor, even though
you
know.
Did you do that to me again?
I did.
Senator Beyer, would you be willing to carry? Okay, we'll ask Senator Beyer to be our carrier, and I'll close the
And Madam Chair, I reserve the right to come to my senses later.
Like today.
Vote no on the floor if that becomes
right.
Necessary.
I gave you a bill folder, right?
I'll close the work session on House Bill 2058.
Just remember the details.
And next, I'll open a work session on House Bill 2357B. And Erin, would you tell
and
us about this?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2357B modifies law enforcement defenses to crimes of unlawful possession of firearms and possession of firearms or dangerous weapon in public building or court facility. It provides law enforcement with protections afforded to concealed handgun license holders, applies to both honorably retired and off-duty officers, specifies the bill only applies to parole and probation officers acting within scope of employment, allows honorably retired police officers to cast artificial light from a vehicle while in immediate presence of firearm or bow and arrow, permits law enforcement to operate snowmobile, an all-terrain vehicle with loaded firearm or bow and arrow, provides that affirmative defense does not apply if officer is convicted of offense that would otherwise make officer ineligible for concealed handgun license, declares emergency effective on passage of a B4 amendment, clarifies that concealed handgun protections do not apply to retired law enforcement officer if convicted of offense that makes them ineligible to have a concealed handgun license. We have a no revenue and a minimal fiscal impact on the B4 amendment, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you, Erin. And members, you'll recollect this bill was actually on our floor. It had come out of the Judiciary Committee, and then a technical problem was discovered with the bill at just on the verge of being voted on. So it was sent to us to correct that. That's what the Dash B4 amendment does, is make that technical change. So the bill should be ready to head back to the floor.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt the Dash B4 amendment to House Bill 2357.
Okay, Senator Farioli has moved the Dash B4 amendment to House Bill 2357. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Any objection to the amendment? Okay, amendment is adopted. Senator Farioli.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2357 to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Senator Farioli has moved House Bill 2357 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion on the motion?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Just to clarify on the record, since with the Dash 4 amendment, which is a good amendment, the language in at least three different sections of the bill now reads, a honorably retired law enforcement officer, unless the person who is a retired law enforcement or has been convicted of an offense that would make the person ineligible to obtain a concealed handgun license under ORS 166-291 and 166-292. That actually appears in sections 2 and sections 5 and 6. Ironically, and just for the record, in Section 4, the same intent is in the law, and it is the intent of the bill to have that same intent in the law. However, in Section 4, just for the record, on lines 28, the first five or six words, an honorably retired law enforcement officer, is in one line, and then down at the bottom in lines 41 to 23, it then goes in and adds the exceptions that are there elsewhere. It just reads differently in one section, even though it is the same intent in all four sections. And just so it's on the record and clear, because it took a while to figure out that it was there and clear, because it wasn't clear. But that clears it up.
Yes. Thank you for raising that point, Senator Boquist. I think we did check with the drafter with Legislative Council to make sure.
Clear, but it's clear now.
Right, right.
Yes.
The muddy waters refers to in one section is the same as the clear water in the other three sections.
Okay. Any further discussion? Any objection to the motion? Okay. The motion carries. Senator Thatcher was the original carrier on this bill when it came out of Judiciary, so I think we'll ask her to be our carrier again. And I'll close the work session on House Bill 2357 and open a work session on House Bill 2465.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2465 authorizes Department of Transportation to establish by rule change of address requirements for driver's licenses, driver's permits, and identification cards. It replaces the requirement that applicant under 18 years of age provide proof of enrollment from school with the requirement that parent or guardian certify that applicant is enrolled in school, except in cases where applicant's privileges have been suspended for withdrawal from school. Eliminates the moped restricted driver's license, removes requirement that out-of-state applicants for a motorcycle endorsement take the motorcycle knowledge test in Oregon if applicant already has such an endorsement in another state. You have an A6 amendment before you, Madam Chair. The A6 amendment makes issuance of fuel tax exemption emissions under the road usage charge program optional, deletes requirement that mileage of vehicles participating in a road usage charge program be rounded up to the next whole mile, removes exemption for a specified vehicle with a maximum speed of 35 miles per hour for off-road use and that are operated on public highways in any one calendar year, a number of miles that does not exceed 15% of the total miles that vehicle is operated for that calendar year. Exempts person operating motor vehicle with a combined weight of 26,000 pounds or more from weight mile tax if motor vehicle is for the purpose of emissions research and development, and the United States Environmental Protection Agency has provided a test exemption from complying with federal emissions requirements applies to taxes imposed on or after January 1, 2015. You have a no revenue and a minimal fiscal impact on the A6 amendment before you, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you, Erin. And I think this bill originated in Senator Byers' committee, was making a stop here for various reasons, and it was discovered that it needed the small amendment, which we have in front of us now. So, Senator Farioli.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the Dash A6 amendment to House Bill 2465.
Thank you. Senator Farioli has moved the -A6 amendment to House Bill 2465. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Any objection? Amendment is adopted. Senator Farioli.
Madam Chair, I move the House Bill 2465 to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Senator Farioli has moved House Bill 2465 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Okay, the motion carries. Do we have a volunteer?
Certainly.
Okay.
I thought it was Senator Byers' bill.
It wasn't volunteering me.
I did that earlier.
Okay, so Senator Boquist to be our carrier, and I'll close the work session on House Bill 2465. And I think that brings us to our one remaining bill, and I will open a work session on House Bill 2176. Erin?
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2176, originally heard on June 11th, removes requirement that person elected to county office provide county clerk with certificate of election, requires electronic filing of candidates' nominating petition or declaration of candidacy for primary election, changes certain ballot markings from presidential only to federal only, alters certain filing deadlines, adds prospective petitions, requirement that full text and measure being circulated must be carried with signature gatherers and available for review, removes requirement that signature sheets for initiative or referral petition be attached to full and correct copy of measure, requires Secretary of State to establish process for modifying petition templates, requires that one copy of prospective initiative and referral petitions be sent to required officials rather than two, permits district attorney to make clerical corrections to ballot title for district measure, requires all estimates, portraits, statements, and arguments for voters' pamphlet to be filed electronically, makes candidate statement for voters' pamphlet subject to prohibition on and penalties for false publication, requires that district elections authority include ballot title for district election on measure at the time the measure is submitted to county elections officials, provides person to whom civil penalty may be imposed ability to request hearing 20 days from service date on notice, direct Secretary of State to provide and allow electors, chief petitioners, and other agents to use electronic signature sheets to collect signatures for prospective initiative petitions, requires Secretary of State to verify signatures in certain circumstances where county clerks currently verify signatures. There's an emergency clause on the measure. You have several amendments before you today, Madam Chair. I will direct your attention to the A8 amendment. It removes reference to excessive amount of campaign contributions necessary to defray expenditures regarding use of contributions by campaign committees to resolve debt. Correct statutory reference in House Bill 2177 so that July 1, 2015 is established as the date for determination of total number of registered voters in Oregon for purpose of maintaining status as minor political party for 2016 general election as intended by House Bill 2177. And remove Section 27 of the A engrossed measure, which is establishing candidate statement for voters' pamphlets subject to prohibition on and penalties for false publication. We have a no revenue and a minimal fiscal impact on the A8 amendment, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you, Erin. And we do have the Secretary of State's office as well as the Elections Division in the room if we have questions about the version that we're looking at. I will say before we start talking about this that, Senator Boquist, I appreciate that you have raised several other concerns about other aspects of the way our elections law is functioning. And I think that we can work on those in the interim. I think it may be difficult to solve some of those problems right now in the context of this bill without further work. So,
well, Madam Chair, for the record, none of the ideas and issues that I've raised are new, and that's on OLS, including documentation from the Secretary of State's office. But in the spirit, since we're going to agree to disagree and not take up a lot of time, a couple things in the -8 and the original amendment that jump out that should be on the record. It's not a housekeeping bill. I mean, the significant changes in terms of re-adding what this legislature removed previously, which is a treasurer from being responsible for non-candidate committees. This legislature previously decided that the directors of those political action committees should be those who are held accountable. And so this is a significant policy change back. The improvement from the A8 from the original bill is, of course, as counsel said, Section 27, because in that same portion of the original bill from the Secretary of State's office, it had determined that it would remove its authority, its civil penalty authority, from falsification of documentation presented to them in the voter's pamphlet in the upper section of mandatory information. and would replace it that with civil action in a court by an opposing candidate. So there were fairly significant and substantial policy changes in this, quote, housekeeping bill. I think we all are familiar with the problems that led us to have the present governor we have right now. Some of those related to activities that have been discussed at length and across the board that are reflected in the various amendments that are out there. So for the sake of just agreeing to disagree, I'll put that on the record. I certainly have had plenty of ample and long-term discussions with the Secretary of State. I'm in a disagreement, and we can either fix it here in the legislature, or I will choose another course of action to fix it.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Senator Ferriero,
that's no.
I'm looking for a motion on the dash AA. Would you like Senator Burdick to make that motion?
Madam Chair, I move the dash AA amendment to House Bill 2176A.
Okay, Senator Burdick has moved the dash A8 amendment to House Bill 2176. Is there discussion on the amendment? Objection to the amendment?
I'll object just because.
Okay.
And I will support the objection.
Zoe, would you please call the roll on the amendment?
Senator Beyer?
Yes.
Senator Boquist?
No.
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Vice Chair Ferrioli?
No.
Chair Rosenbaum?
Aye. Motion carries. And Senator Burdick?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move House Bill 2176 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Burdick has moved House Bill 2176 as amended by the dash AA to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion on the motion? Okay, I don't see any further discussion, so Zoe, would you please call the roll?
Senator Beyer?
Aye.
Senator Boquist?
No.
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Vice Chair Ferriero?
No.
Chair Rosenbaum?
Aye. Motion carries.
And Madam Chair, I serve notice of possible minority report. And just to be inclusive, that would cover the A5s, the A6s, the A7s, and the A8s.
Okay, thank you.
We want to be bipartisan.
Thank you for your notice. The chair will carry this on the floor. And I will close the work session on House Bill 2176. And I think that completes all the bills we had that were ready to be worked today.
It does, Madam Chair.
So stay tuned, members. We will be meeting again. Okay, thank you, and we are adjourned.
Okay, so.
We are adjourned.
Okay, so. And we